morning. I want to challenge you to do something. I've thought all week about how far we've come, the way things used to be. I'm very fortunate. I'll be 72 in September. I know it shocks you. I look 42, but September I'll be 72 years old. But I announced my call into the ministry back when churches were still on fire for the Lord, and I'm so grateful for that. How many of you here are old enough to remember the old Amen corners? You remember those? And I remember I hadn't been preaching long, and my mother's uncle called me and had me to come to Paw Holler Baptist Church up in Sevier County, little church set way back off the road. And I got there to this little church, and they had all of these pews turn the opposite way. And they would just fill up with those elders and old men of God. They wasn't there to critique me. They wasn't there to correct me. But they was there to back me. And they would amen the messages. And I thought about that. And then me and Shannon done something. We done something at our age we ought never to do. Friday and Saturday, we spent a day. She got on YouTube. I want to challenge you to do this. How many of you sitting here right now remembers Evangelist Ed Ballou? Let me see your hand. Well, that's quite a few, and there's a lot that's probably never heard of Brother Ed Ballou. I want to challenge you to do something. She got on Facebook, on YouTube, on our television, and we sat there most of Friday afternoon and most of Saturday afternoon listening to Brother Ballou preach from the 70s until just before he passed on in 2010, one of the last messages that Brother Ballou preached was here at Temple. And we watched him, man, and you get a taste of the old times, the way it used to be when he'd preach and people would shout the house down and holler amen and praise the Lord. And we watched that, and we started reminiscing about how it was when we first got in the ministry and how it's changed so much. And I'm telling you, the Lord filled us both. We were squalling like two little babies. Couldn't even talk. Shannon said, your phone's ringing. I said, I don't care. About 2 hours later, I said, your phone's ringing, and she just muted it. We didn't want anything to interrupt that. Listening to, I challenge you. If you want a blessing, if you want to receive a blessing, just type in Evangelist Ed Ballou and sit down on YouTube and watch and listen. Brother Ballou had something that I see a lot of preachers have failed to have in this hour. We're supposed to preach with boldness, absolutely. But that boldness has to be seasoned with compassion. And Brother Ballou had a way of telling a man, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell, but he would have so much compassion in it that it wouldn't make them mad. I've been to a lot of jubilees and a lot of tent meetings down through all the years. And you run into a lot of men that know how to preach boldly. They just did not know how to saturate that and season it with compassion. And if you want to hear a man that preached boldly, but seasoned it with so much love and compassion, it was impossible to get mad at him. I challenge you to do that. It's been such a blessing to me. It blessed me so much. I told Shannon, I said, I'm going to have to run there and change the message that I've studied for 2 weeks. Man, I got to preach something I heard Brother Ballou preach. Can't do that. So open your Bible this morning to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. I don't know how many times through the years that I've read through the four Gospels. I'm sure most of you here have if you've been saved any length of time at all. And then I came across this that for some reason I had never noticed before. You ever had that happen to you? And think, how in the world did I miss that the first 500 times I read it? But it's like the Holy Spirit just grabbed me the other day and zeroed in on one verse. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 17. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Why? Because it's only temporal. What he just told them was temporal. Notwithstanding, in this, so what do you mean, preacher? Well, go out here and try to pick up a serpent. Knock yourself out. These was part of the signs given to the disciples and the apostles as signs to Israel. And they would soon end after Paul came along. He said, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Please look at verse 21. You're about to read the only verse in this Bible that says that Jesus rejoiced. The only time you're going to read in your King James Bible where it says Jesus rejoiced. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. He's saying to the Father, when you come up with this plan of salvation, you couldn't have done any better. You could not have done any better when it come to the plan. Understand the context here is these disciples were to rejoice because their name was written in heaven. Verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. My Father, as I bow in your presence, I've studied, I've sought your face, I've spent some time with communion. Lord, just me and you in the darkness of the midnight. I've made probably 30, 40 pages of notes as you spoke to me, tried to condense them into something that I could preach. But my Father, I stand here this morning not on my faithfulness, but on thine. And Lord, unless you anoint me to preach this message, there'll be no preaching done. I'll give 3 points in the close, and these folks will leave here bored stiff. But I ask that you would send the sweet, blessed Holy Ghost that would get me out of the way, speak to our hearts. For I preach not just to these folks, but I'm preaching to myself. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke was referred to by Paul in Colossians 4:4 as the beloved physician. When you read through the Gospel of Luke, he presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And he zeroes in on the human factor when it comes to the Lord Jesus. And there's something that you'll notice in the book of Luke that you won't notice so much in Matthew and Mark. John's a total different ball game altogether. If you've been here long, you know that. John's totally different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But you'll find when you read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll see somewhat of a Gentile influence or emphasis, even though they were told to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you'll find some things in Luke that you don't find in Matthew and Mark, because Luke has a little bit of a Gentile emphasis on his gospel when he gives it. It was Luke that told us in chapter 2, when they brought Jesus into the temple, it was Luke that told us that when Simeon lifted up the Lord's Christ, He said, now I can die in peace, for I have seen the Lord's salvation, and he will be a light to lighten who? The Gentiles, and the glory of his people Israel. It was in Luke's gospel that you get the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was in Luke's gospel that we get the parable of the prodigal son. It's in Luke's gospel that we get the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And so you get to look in it in Luke. You got to understand this. You got to understand this. Luke mentions in chapter 10, verse 9 and verse number 11, that when Jesus went out, when he sent the 70 out, he said, you tell them in the cities that the kingdom of God is nigh thee. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Hold on now. Hold on. They were told, John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And John kept preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand for the Jew. But here Luke comes along and he records that the Lord sent these 70 into the cities and he said, you tell them this. You tell them that the kingdom of God is come nigh. Not there, but it's come nigh. That's an amazing thing because you have to understand Luke wrote the book of Acts. And Luke followed with Paul from Acts chapter number 16 until Paul's death. It's such a tender thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, he's writing just before his execution, and it's sad words. He said, Demas, well, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said, only Luke is with me. Only the beloved physician is with me. So you have to understand, Luke traveled with Paul during his second half of his missionary journey, starting with the second, and stayed with Paul until Paul was executed. So you find that in Luke. Luke is the only one that records that these 70 disciples were sent out. You won't find that in Matthew and Mark or John. Luke records it. Now the 12 are sent out in Matthew chapter number 10, just like they are earlier in Luke. But when you get to Luke chapter number 10, I think that's a Gentile number, and verse number 21, something happens. 70 are chosen before they were told not to go into the cities of the Gentiles or the Samaritans. That's what they were told. When these 70 are sent out, they went into the cities that was on the itinerary where the Lord Jesus Christ would go. And he sent these 70 out two by two. And here's what he told them. He said, when you enter into a home, if there's peace there, give them peace. If there's no peace, don't leave your peace with them. And he used them as a temperature probe because he said, you go before me. If they reject you, they'll reject me. He said, if they hear you, they'll hear me. And he told them in chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 11, you tell them that the kingdom of God. Now, wait a minute, preacher, hold on, hold on, hold on. We listen to Preacher Lawson all the time. Well, I do too. He's my pastor too. Now, we know the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That's a wonderful thing because 85% of men that's filling the pulpit today don't. So if you do, that's a great thing. And the kingdom of heaven was a literal, physical, tangible kingdom that was offered never to the Gentile, just to the Jew. Yet Luke records that the Lord Jesus sent him into all the cities. And remember that it was Luke that gave the parable of the Samaritan. Wow. That was hated by the Jews. And he said, when you go into a house that will receive you, you tell them that the kingdom of God is come nigh. Isn't that something? Well, how can he do that? Understand that when Jesus Christ was here, he embodied both kingdoms. He was the king of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. And he was the Lamb of the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual kingdom that's within you. And so he mentions that the Lord preached through these 70 that the kingdom of God is nigh. And then you'll notice the Lord uses them as to go before. You go before me, and I'll only go into the homes that received you. Because if they didn't receive you, they're not going to receive me. And then these 70 return. And the Bible said they return with joy. And they say, Lord, wow, what a thing. I mean, we ain't nothing, but we found out that the devils in hell are subject to us through thy name. It's an amazing thing what you've given us. And the Lord said, I told you I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and that nothing can hurt you. But then Jesus said, listen, that's all well and good, but don't rejoice over that. That's something that's going to be temporal. And then he said this to him. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My, read that so many times. Read it so many times. I understand that. But the part that for some reason I never got was in verse 21. 3 times 7 in chapter 10. It says, in that hour, Jesus, what's your Bible say? Rejoiced in spirit and began to thank his Father. Wow. He rejoiced. So, man, I hit that again and I said, okay, Lord, that's the only time. Man, I run the scripture references. I got down Young's Concordance and I went through every concordance I had. And I don't have Bible programs because I don't have a computer. They scare me to death. You know, I got a smartphone, and I ain't no smarter now than I was when I got it years ago. So I do everything the old-fashioned way. I do it the old, man, I got through the concordance, and I went through it, and guess what? The only time in your Bible that you read that Jesus rejoiced is in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 21. So I said, Lord, that's an amazing thing. That makes me stop and say, okay, Jesus rejoiced? Why did Jesus rejoice? Because I thought about it when he left the tomb of Lazarus, who was his friend. Remember that? They said, Lazarus is dead. And the Lord went to the tomb of Lazarus, Mary and Martha weeping, our brother's dead. And he raised the body of Lazarus out of the tomb. He didn't say he rejoiced. He didn't rejoice there. But the Bible said he wept. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He didn't rejoice. When he gives sight to blind Bartimaeus, when he gave him sight, the Bible does not say that Jesus rejoiced. It's not in there. When he landed where the Gadarenes come from, in the land of the Gadarenes, and the wild man of Gadara that came out of the tomb screaming and filled with demons. And when he left, the Bible said he was clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Wouldn't you think Jesus would have rejoiced over that? Well, if he did, it wasn't recorded. Now, I can't make you listen to what I'm preaching. I can't keep you from being distracted and thinking about what you're going to do as soon as church is over. But I will say this to you. Anytime the word of God goes out, you better be careful. You better not take it lightly. Because you will, if you reject the Lord Christ, listen to me, you will give an answer for every message you sat under, flipping through a book, or playing with somebody beside you. Amen. Now that was bold, but I'm going to temper it with compassion. Amen. But it said that here he rejoiced. Wouldn't you want to know, okay, Lord, why? All these other things happened. Bible doesn't say that you rejoiced. But why did you rejoice here and you started out by thanking your Father? He gives you that answer if you look at it. He talks about how the God the Father has hid these things from the wise. That's what he said. He said, I think you've hid these things from the... Brother Tony almost preached my message in Sunday school. Gave some of the very quotations from the scripture that I was going to use. I guess you'll just have to hear them again. Because Jesus... Look, you got to see this. If you don't see the message, man, I've struck out. We want to know why he rejoiced. That get your... How many wants to know why? Only place you find it in your Bible that the Lord rejoiced. Let me see your hand. I had to search the scriptures and diligently pray and look at the verses in front and behind and ask God to show me. And look at it. Look after he rejoices. Look at verse 22. Look at, he said, at the last part of verse 21, thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:20, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Amen. He said, you've hid them from the wise and the prudent. The prudent are those that because of their education, because of their wisdom, they think that they're able to lean to their own understanding. And you can't tell a prudent man anything. He's way too pious for that. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3 to lean not to our own understanding. Jesus rejoices that God the Father has hid these things. What things? The things that he told the disciples. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And he said, Father, I thank thee. You've hid these things from the wise. My goodness. Hid them from the wise. Be not wise, the Bible said, in your own conceits, in your own arrogance. You're never going to figure God out. And the Lord Jesus rejoiced in the fact that God the Father hid those things. And he rejoiced in the fact that the plan that the Father set aside before the foundation of the world was perfect and could not be improved upon. Because salvation is free, it's fair. It's free and it's fair to all men. And the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, rejoiced because of the plan that the Father had set aside before the foundation of the world, how a sinner could get saved and have his name written in the book of life. And he rejoiced in the fact the Father made it this way. The only way you can get in is through me. There's not many doors. He rejoiced in the fact that God the Father made only one door that you could go through to get your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Only one, not many. He said, this is how it works in John 6:44. He said he rejoiced in the fact that God the Father, no man, he said, can come unto me except God which sent me draw him. See, it's God the Father through the Holy Ghost of God that draws you and woos you. You say, I'll get saved when I'm good and ready. You'll end up in hell. Not the way it works. He's not peddling some second-rate junk iron. He let his son die on a cross for you. And he'll send you invitation after invitation after invitation after invitation. And when it gets to the point where it doesn't bother you anymore, then you need to be scared to death, man. My spirit shall not always strive with men. There's a warning in there for those that's admonished and they continue to stiffen their neck. You say, well, that's bold. Where's the other part you talked about? It's coming. It's on the way. He rejoiced in that fact that the way to heaven was hidden from those that's wise in their own eyes. For those that was prudent. It gives a perfect example toward the end in verse 25. Evidently, this lawyer didn't hear him. Because he comes through and he challenges the Lord Jesus. Challenges him. How do I get eternal life? And the Lord used the word of God on him. And then give him the parable of the good Samaritan. Basically he said, go learn what that means. Yeah, it's hard to get to wise people. I don't mean you got to be stupid to get saved, but you cannot trust the wisdom of this world. It'll let you down. Something that's free to all. He rejoiced in that. He rejoiced in the fact that the plan that God the Father gave for salvation was free and it was simple. It would be hidden from the wise and the prudent and given to those as babes that would receive it. He rejoiced in that. The rejoicing comes because their name is written in the book of heaven, and he wants your name written there too. And he rejoiced in the fact that there's only one way. There's not another way. There's not many doors, as Oprah says. The door she's getting ready to go through is not going to take her to heaven. I'll promise you that. And if you're an Oprah lover, I feel sorry for you. Get your nose out of the tube and get it in the book. She's full of the devil, folks. And she has millions of people that fall. You know something that amazes me? This amazes me. These stars and starlets can live like hell itself. These talk show hosts, man, they can booze it up and just jump from bed to bed. But if anybody ever hears them say God, yeah. Listen, if they just say, but God, he's a Christian. He mentioned the name of God. So did the demons. They said, we know thee, thou Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High. This world is full of deception today. It's full of deception. And the truth is hid from the wise and the prudent. In that, the Lord rejoiced that there's only, no matter about your station in life, I got a call one day to meet this lady, a female contractor. We'd never done a house before for a female contractor. And they sent me over in Fountain City to look at a house, supposed a house that was going to be built. And to get the blueprints, bring them back to the office, and give an estimate what it would cost. The place I'm talking about, I could pinpoint it for you and you could drive by there, but I ain't going to do that. But it's right here in Fountain City. And so I drove over and I met this lady. Somebody said, won't you stay with a message? I am, you just don't realize it yet. I met with her, and a very nice lady, and she gave me the blueprints. And before I even left, I rolled them out on the hood of my truck, and I looked at them. And I looked at them again. And I said, ma'am, we got a problem. And she said, what's wrong? I said, this area is not zoned for commercial. And I said, this is not a residential. This thing has got 6 independent walk-in showers, roll-in showers. It's only got 1 huge meeting room and 1 gigantic kitchen. I said, that's commercial. And this area is not zoned for commercial buildings. You know what she told me? She smiled at me. She said, it's okay. I want you to give me the residential price. I know the mayor. What she said. So I went back to my place of business and I told the owner, I said, I don't know. It made me mad. You know why it made me mad? Because years before that, I had been an independent. Years before that, I was out trying to make a living with my own hands, trying to run a little plumbing business. And man, I didn't get away with anything. And back then, my daddy was the plumbing inspector. People thought, oh, boy, he's got it made. He's got it made. Why, his dad's the plumbing inspector. Oh, what fools they were. What fools they were. When my dad walked in on something I'd done, he would get me on stuff he wouldn't say another word to anybody else about. Brother Phil understand this. He wanted all that red Charlotte pipe turned looking out. I said, Dad, it's behind the wall. He said, but you're putting your name on that, boy. And he said, I want them revents to come up a little. I said, 6 inches of blood for flood rim. That's the, don't tell me what the code is. I'm telling you what I want. So I knew what it was like for an inspector to come out and say, you got to change this. You got to change this. This is going to have to be changed. When you do, call me back. You'll have to pay for a reinspection. And this lady looking at me with a smile on her face and said, don't worry about it. I know the mayor. Wow. Made me sick to my stomach. We done it. Permitted it through the city of Knoxville as a residential dwelling. When I knew it wasn't, they knew it wasn't. And when the plumbing inspector come out, who was a good friend of mine, and we walked together, I wanted to see what he was going to say. I wanted to see. Didn't take him long. Didn't take him long at all. And he looked at me. Shook my head. He just kept looking. He walked to it, walked through the whole job, gave me a green tag. He said, you know this is not residential. And I said, I know that. I know that. I said, why don't you do something about it? Stop it. It's not fair to the other plumbers in this area. He said, I can't stop it. She knows the mayor. Now you listen to me. Jesus rejoiced in the fact that there's no loopholes, that there's no backstage passes given to the rich. He rejoiced in the fact that if you get your name written down in heaven, there's only one door you can come through. Isn't that a wonderful plan that God the Father designed? Not many doors. I don't care if you do know the mayor. There's only one door that gets you into heaven. Jesus rejoiced in that. It was free and fair to all men. He rejoiced in it. He rejoiced. There's no loopholes in that. None whatsoever. See, the Lord is no respecter of persons. I like that about him. It doesn't matter if you're the wolf of Wall Street or a beggar on the street corner. If you get your name written down, you'll go through the same door. Amen. Amen. What a plan God the Father come up with. And the Lord said, the Father will take you to me, point you to me, and I'll take you to the Father. That's the plan, and you can't go around it. Everybody that's in here right now that's saved, everybody that, under the sound of my voice, you're saved, and you know you're saved. You came through the same door I did. Amen. Amen. And if you didn't come through that door, you're lost and on your way to hell. He rejoiced in the fact that there was only one door. Why only one door? Because there was only one begotten. There was only one Son of God. Amen. Now when we're born again, we're called the sons of God, but there was only one begotten Son of God. Only one. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things. That's why there's only one door. There's only one. Romans 11:36, you've heard the pastor quote many times, for of him, through him, and to him are all things. You're not going to get any other way. The Lord rejoiced in that salvation was fair to all, and it was free to all. See, the Princess of Wales, she'll have to come through the same door as the prostitute at Knox County Jail. Jesus rejoiced in that. The professor at UT, if he gets in, he'll have to come through the same door as an ignorant plumber from Maynardville. Amen! Isn't that a perfect plan of salvation? No respecter of persons. The Pope of Rome, if, I say that tongue in cheek, he gets in, he'll have to get in the same way as a drunkard on Gay Street. Is that not a perfect plan? Jesus said, rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. He said, that's what you need to rejoice. And then he rejoiced because of the plan, the perfect plan, the fair plan. I don't care if you know the mayor or not. If you get into heaven, you're going to have to come through one door and one door only. And it ain't the church. No. It ain't the church. It's not a denomination. He said in John 10:9, I am the door. You used that one this morning too. Started to say, just go ahead and preach, Tony. I'll sit here. I need a break anyway. I'll just go right ahead. There's only one door. The Lord rejoiced in that. And you think about this, and I'm coming to a close. Though the Bible said he had no place to lay his head, every place his foot touched, he owned it. Amen. All things were made by him and for him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. Yet he said, the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And even though he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, he chose to eat fish on the riverbank with common fishermen. He was the friend of sinners. That's what he was. He didn't condone their sin, but he was their friend. I thought about this last night, actually about 3 o'clock this morning, when the Pharisees, you know, he was always following him around. I pastored some of them, didn't I? Trying to catch you at every turn. And they was always challenging him. And the fools didn't realize that the one that they were trying to challenge was responsible for the very garments they wore. Amen. You start to realize now, while hanging on a cross, that he bowed his head and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Father, they don't even realize that I'm giving them the very life, the very air that's in their lungs. They don't even realize it. They don't even know. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. My. Let me tell you his name again. In case you're looking for a way to heaven, his name is Jesus. That's his name. Do you think anybody ever had to remind Mary Magdalene, who had 7 demons cast out of her, what his name was? Can you imagine somebody walking up to Mary Magdalene and say, now, that fellow from Nazareth that came through here and cleaned you up and cast them demons out of you. Now, what was his name? It's a name she'll never forget. Do you think that the wild man of Gadara that was found sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind, ever forgot that name? Let me give it to you one more time. His name is Jesus. And he rejoiced that salvation is free to everybody in this building right now. And fair. It's free and it's fair to everybody in here. I got more, but the Lord said, that's it. Call the dogs off, hunt's over. You're about to lose them. I'm like you. You know, I'm no different than you. Man, you got me. I'll be honest. You got me for about 20, 25 minutes. And then I start to, my attention span starts to go south. Unless somebody is up and they're filled from the top of their head or the bottom of their feet with the Holy Ghost of God, and then I can sit there all day long. I've listened to Brother Ed Blue preach many times for over 2 hours, and when he would quit, I think, why did he quit? But I'm gonna leave it right here. Many years ago, there was a fellow who used to come to the church. I loved him, man. He'd come every once in a while, sit toward the back. People would let me know when they thought he was coming. And he was a man's man, buddy, I'm telling you. That guy, he worked construction, tough as a pine knot. I mean, he was, you walk up and grab him, it's like grabbing a rock. But he was lost. Admitted he was lost. And he would sit back there and he'd listen to me preach time and time again when he was there. And every preacher has gone through this, they'll say every head bowed, every eye closed. I do that sometimes, not every time, but I would do it every time he was there, because everybody in the church house would bow their head and they'd be praying, and me and him would be in complete eye contact with each other. He would never bow his head. He would just look at me. Big old tears just streaming out of his face. Him trying his best to hold it in. Well, you think he's going to bust. He can't hold this anymore. I mean, the Lord is opening up the windows of heaven and just drowning him with conviction. But he would just sit there and weep. And as soon as the invitation was over, bam, out the back door he'd go, and he was gone. You wouldn't see him again for maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. Somebody get word that he was going to be there, and they say, hey, old Bill's going to be here Sunday. And I'd start praying, oh God, I don't want to see him go to hell. I love this man. I don't want to see him go to hell. He'd come, he'd sit, same place every time. I'd give an invitation, every head bowed, every eye closed. and he'd just stay focused on me. Weeping, tears pouring out of his face. And time after time after time, he'd get up and he'd walk out. Years went on. I left that church, took another pastorate, and I got a phone call. This lady called me and said, "Is this Preacher McDonald?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You don't know me. You've never met me. But you know my daddy." I said, "Okay." She told me her daddy's name. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I know him. Oh, yeah, I've talked to him many times." And she said, "Daddy's dying. Daddy's dying." She said, "My preacher tried to go in and talk to him. And he wouldn't hear him. He wasn't rude, but he just turned a deaf ear. He told me to find you, get a hold of you, and see if you'd come over here and see him. And said he probably won't make it through the night." And I said, you give me the address, and I'm on my way right now." And I remember that night distinctly. I remember it because a fear came over me. The last time I'd got a phone call like that was to go to a little farmhouse in Sevier County with another preacher where we sat up all night long. And we prayed with a man. He brought his guitar. We sang hymns to the man. We give our personal testimony. He preached to the man. And he laid there all night long. And just before the sun came up, he laid there with his eyes fixed, not hearing a word we were saying. And we both watched that man die and go out into a Christless eternity. It affected me. It affected me. If you ever watch somebody die and you know without a doubt they went to hell while you was in their midst, it'll do something to you. It affected me for years. And I'd never been called out again until this night. When I was called out this night, I went. Brother Roger will attest to what I'm about to say. Many times preachers are put in very uncomfortable situations. You'll get phone calls from people to come and see their loved one because they're on their deathbed and you know that they've lived like hell itself. Amen, preacher. You know they never darkened a church door. You know nobody in that family ever come to the house of God. But now they're on their deathbed. They're facing eternity. And they'll sit out there with bated breath in the waiting room hoping that some preacher can go in and say some magic words and come back out and give them some kind of hope that their loved one went to heaven. I never done that. I never done that. I never came out and give anybody a false hope. I would just say I had prayer with them. "Oh, preacher, do you think they got right?" I had prayer with them. They was receptive to the prayer. They're in the hands of a just God. That's right. That's right. But they want you to, what they want, "Oh, they broke down. They called on the name of the Lord." Listen, do not bank on a deathbed religion. Don't do it. There's only one in 66 books in this Bible. And that was the thief that was hanging beside him. That's the only one you'll find. Does it happen? It can happen. All these thoughts was going through my mind. I hadn't seen Bill in so many years. And I get over to this little tiny apartment. And when I pulled up, I had the door cracked. And I let myself in. I didn't know he had four daughters. All four of them girls were sitting on the couch in there, weeping, crying. And one of them took me back to the bedroom. And when I walked back there, the man that I had known, that looked like the Incredible Hulk, had dwindled down but just flesh and bone. When he looked at me, he started to smile. I'm telling you, his eyes lit up. I'm telling you, I knew, listen, as soon as I walked in, I knew this one was different. The Holy Ghost of God had already beat me there. He got there before I did. And Bill was under so much conviction. I'm telling you, the convicting power. I don't believe in this easy believism garbage. I don't believe in it. I took the young people, Brother Lucas, from this church to a local church many years ago where they had a youth crusade. And some clown got up, called himself a preacher, wearing a pair of blue jeans. He looked like he'd been melted and poured in. Amen. Amen. and gave some little social gospel, and they gave an invitation, the word those kids, man, felt like, well, man, this is cool. We're fools if we don't go. They came around to me as a youth leader for these kids here many years ago and said, we got so many kids going to the back. We need you to go back and be a counselor. And I said, I will not have any part in this farce. You're leading a bunch of young people straight to hell. There's not one ounce of conviction in this building. Amen. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. You say, what does that feel like? Oh, you'll know. You will know. You will know when the Holy Ghost of God takes you and shakes your soul out over hell. Amen. And you'll know that that's the sweet wooing of the Holy Ghost of God. When I come in, Bill was ready. I said, do I need to tell you again? He said, no. No, I'm just ready, preacher. You know what he told me? You know what he told me? You'd had to know him like I knew him. You know, and I still loved him. You know, some people say, well, now, you know, I got some friends that's not Christians. Who don't? I hope you're a friend to them. I hope you don't look down your self-righteous snoot at them because they're going to hell. You us too. And such were some of you. I got some friends some of you all wouldn't approve of. Brother Tony, I got some friends that was in the Marine Corps that are true friends. Some of you all wouldn't approve of them. But maybe one day I can reach them. Amen. You know what he said to me? He took that hand and he got me by the hand. Man, I was squalling, weeping. I'm thinking, Lord, let's make this short and sweet. He's ready. I mean, this baby's ready to be born. I mean, he's already been travailing. And he got me by the hand. You know what he said to me? I'll never forget it. He said, preacher, you know the life I've lived. And I said, that don't matter. That doesn't matter. And he said, is there any other door? He said, I don't deserve to go through the same door that you went through. Man, that's the words of a sinner that knows they're a sinner, that's had the Holy Ghost to shake them out over hell. That's how he felt. He said, is there another door? I'm not worthy to try to go through the same door that you went through when you got saved. And I said, Bill, there's only one. There is only one. And I said, he's opened that door wide for you right now. He said, what do I have to do? I said, the Lord's done his part. Man, I've got conviction in this room. I'm telling you, it drove me to my knees when I walked in the door. Conviction's here. Everything's here. He's waiting on you. And I said, just talk to him. He said, I never prayed. I said, just talk to him. Tell him you don't want to go to hell. Yeah, I'll get it done. You don't have, not some big pious, our benevolent, loving, heavenly. Oh, man, take that stuff somewhere else. I'd rather listen to ZZ Top. Hey, man, I can't stand that pious junk. I'd rather somebody say, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I deserve to be in hell. That's the ones I want to hear. That's the ones that get in. That other stuff is religion. That's all it is. That garbage never gets above their shoelaces. And I've heard enough to last me for the rest of my days. If I'd had a tape player that night and could have hit record and recorded what he said to the Lord, I'd never have to preach another message. Never. All I'd had to do is stand up a picture of Bill Duncan up here and say, listen to this. And if you wouldn't say, the altar would be full. Man, he talked to the Lord like a little boy, telling the Lord what a wretched, vile, ungodly sinner. Telling the Lord I don't deserve to be able to walk into the same door that Barry came through. But I want in. I want in. I accept you as my Savior. Man, you know, some people, There's so many people that they worry, they doubt their salvation. You know, because somebody's got a hold of them. Did you pray the sinner's prayer? Was a preacher with you? Had you heard the preached word? Because how can they hear except, see, I got a friend that does not believe. I love him. He's a preacher, pastors a church. He does not believe that you can get born again like Bill Pierce did just by reading the word of God. You're begotten by the word. Man, I'm telling you, I could feel it, buddy. You know the best thing to getting saved is seeing somebody else get born again. And buddy, I'm telling you, when the peace came over Bill Duncan, filled that room, he reached up and he grabbed me. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's no telling what you're going to do. And he grabbed me by the back of my head and jumped me right down in his chest. Man, I mean, he had chest hair look like a forest, buddy. And he grabbed me and just, man, I was a squalling, crying. Them girls, his daughters out there in the living room on that couch, screaming, squalling. I think somebody in that little apartment complex called 911. He got born again. You know what he told me? He said, I want you to preach my funeral. I said, I'd be honored. He said, when you stand up, you're going to be preaching to a bunch of drunks. I said, I can handle that. That's where I came from. He said, I want you to tell them that old Bill got born again. Amen. They won't believe it. But you tell them that I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I don't want any of them to go to hell. I want them to come through the door. You see why Jesus rejoiced? You understand now why he rejoiced? He rejoiced at the plan of salvation that his Father devised was free and fair to all. Amen. If you get in, if you're already in, you came through the only door that will get you in. Man, only one. I hope you're saved. Hope you're saved. If you're in the adult Sunday school, you realize how close we are to the end of the end of the end. Playtime's over, man. It's the bottom of the ninth and a full count. Now, man, one day, do I think for any stretch of the imagination in a crowd this size that there's nobody in here that's lost? I don't believe that for a split second. Man, I've seen church members get born again. Many of them. I've seen them get genuinely saved. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving you the truth. If you've sat through this, and I fought my way through it, I didn't have a whole lot of liberty to preach it. Any other preacher knows that. I was able to get off of my chest and out of my heart what the Lord gave me. I didn't have a tremendous amount of liberty. And I say, I understand. I pastored for years, so did Roger. And when folks find out the pastor's not there, it don't matter what you preach, man, they're going to turn you off.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. That's not our pastor. I'm not going to amen that. I'm not going to support that. Well, see, a seasoned, and that may shake up a young preacher, but a seasoned pastor could care less. Amen. But if you've sat here, and I want them to come and get ready to sing an invitational, just I'm through. But if you've sat through this message, and not one time you've ever felt a tug of your heart, and you've never felt anybody speak to you and woo you, then sit where you are. Just stay there. Stay there. If there's no convicting power of the Holy Ghost, wear yourself out. You can't open the door till you hear the knock. But if you felt the Lord move in your soul and conviction is there, listen to me, you better make your way to this altar, because very soon that door of mercy is going to close. And you'll be outside the ark, beating on the side of the ark, begging for mercy, and there'll be none to be found. My, my, my. Search your heart. If he's not speaking to you, don't come. You'd be wasting your time. God, have your way this morning.
speak to hearts, I pray, Lord.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being with me.
Everything to God in prayer.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not
I appreciate your attention. I appreciate you listening to me.
Have we trials and temptations?